What's up, everybody? Welcome back to WWF Wrestling with Freddie. Thank you guys so much for listening so far. And I'm really excited to introduce this guest because I never had the pleasure of working with him. I left the company before he came in. And now it's time to start the show.
Now, stepping up to the mic, the host of Wrestling with Freddie, Freddie Prinze Jr.
So everyone, please welcome the awesome, the fantastic, by my command, the next King of the Ring, Mr. Xavier Woods. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for that incredible introduction.
Oh, yes. You're too kind.
You're too kind.
No, I'm telling you, the only other American besides Harley Race and Jerry Lawler that I think would look good in a crown. Otherwise, we all look like John Goodman in King Ralph.
And he looked great.
Yeah.
He looked great.
I mean, he even rejected it at the end. You know what I mean? He knew it didn't look good.
Right.
He knew it didn't look good. He looks great now, though. Thanks for coming out to Los Angeles, man.
Yeah, dude, of course. We haven't had a chance to actually sit and hang out and chat in such a long time.
So. I haven't gotten to see you in the flesh since I was your dungeon master.
Yeah.
I think that was the last time. And we had a ton of fun. And we can even talk nerdy stuff if you want. But before we get into that, we kind of met. Like I said, you weren't at the company when I worked there.
Yeah.
And so we kind of met because I became a fan of yours. And I still watch wrestling to this day. And I still watched when I left. And I watched this dude. And I wasn't educated on TNA. I watched this dude come in that was you, and you had a backstage segment, and I think the first one was with Kofi, and then after that it was Big E, and it was this young, brash, good-looking wrestler. I'm blowing smoke, but this is what came through. And I remember sitting there going, who is this, and what are they trying to do? And you, Kofi, and Big E formed a faction, which is very difficult to get over with fans, let alone within the company. It's difficult.
Yeah.
And when you guys came out, I heard some of the strongest boos that I had ever heard a tag team receive. And they started screaming it changed from boos to full Kurt Angle hate, where it was New Day sucks was a part of it. And I remember going, man, but you're committed though. And you guys did something crazy, and it doesn't happen often, man. In fact, it's hard for me to find another time that it has worked in the last 25 years. You guys went from booed to over in a way that I haven't seen in I don't know how long, and it went from New Day sucks to New Day rocks, and you guys were using trombones. And now, then I watch it years later, and you're in these like bamboo beatdown matches with the Usos and stealing the show. And the crowd goes crazy for you guys everywhere you go. How the hell did you do this?
I don't know.
You see what I'm saying?
First off, you're beyond kind. I don't know. It's a weird process. It's a weird journey because I'm trying to figure out how to say this.
It's like I don't know a stand-up comic who's been hated and then loved.
Yeah.
And that's the closest thing to wrestling that I can put in show business.
I feel like the reason that happened is because regardless of like what the three of us are doing, we have this unreal chemistry together where like, it's like that we can finish each other's sentences, like that type of stuff. But it's on a different, it's like a different comedic timing level. It's not just like we're friends. It's almost like we have the same style of dropping jokes, of timing on those jokes, of the weird pop culture references of those jokes. For instance, so we were at Waffle House. It's Kofi, myself.
Of course it's a Waffle
House. Well, because it's the only thing that's open after a show.
Okay.
So we got to go to one of those late night breakfast places. And someone came up and they said someone's name was, their last name was Hauser. And Kofi and I immediately both went, Doogie?
I went to high school with him. Not joking.
Doogie Howser?
I got suspended my senior year for sticking up for Neil against Rob Bone. He was this guy at my school. He talked smack about Neil and said stuff that I didn't like. And yeah. Neil was the reason I started drama.
Yeah.
Because I saw him do a Dudley Moore impression like the day you choose electives. And I was like, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And I still can't do a good one. But he spoke out the side of his face and he got hit and he played football. I didn't. So I got suspended. But yeah, so shout out Doogie Howser. Hey,
shout out. This is the goat, man.
So this guy's name's Howser. You guys both just instantly say Doogie.
Doogie. And people were like, how did you both come to Doogie?
That's how you guys interact in the ring, though.
Yeah.
That's how you guys would do whatever, like whatever group or person you guys were going against when you guys would talk trash on him. It was always...
But that's why, that's why it works, because there's that chemistry of, like, anything that I say, they will laugh. Anything that they say, I will laugh. Like, so no matter what we say, whether they're bad jokes or things that are just ridiculous, like, as long as we're laughing and having a good time, someone's like, God, these guys, it's not, you can't, it's hard to hate when people are just, like, having a good time.
So this is a high-level thing. So Larry David has a similar philosophy. Mm-hmm. He says, when you have confidence in yourself and in your jokes, there are no bad jokes.
No.
There's only bad audiences.
Yeah.
And so he'll turn it on even more if he knows it's bothering you, just to drive that point home, to the point where he got his own TV show and everyone fell in love with what is in essence a horrible person.
Yes.
And when you guys were heels, you were pulling this off. And it was, I don't want to call you guys unicorns, because you guys actually came out with unicorn horns.
Very good reason for that, though.
But it's probably dirty.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, this is G-rated. I'm just kidding. You guys.
So my girlfriend in high school, she would always talk about this movie, The Last Unicorn. And
I'm like, yeah.
I'm not watching this, whatever. Finally, we sit down and I watch it. I'm like, this is the most amazing animated film I've ever seen. So the whole, I know. The whole idea of the movie is that this is the last unicorn and magic is almost gone because there's only one unicorn left. And unicorns are the ones who bring magic. And so in my head, we came up with this thing that we brought magic back to wrestling and we're like, so we're unicorns. That's what my brain did. And so we said it in a promo once, and it was hilarious to us. And so then we started coming out with our fingers on our heads.
To us. People listening, like, if you're insecure about your art, what he just said is great. It was funny to us. It was funny to us. We'll talk about that later. I'm sorry for interrupting, hugely important.
That's a great point. So there's a clip that I just recently saw. It's an older clip. It's Kevin Nash, and he's talking to somebody, and he's explaining... He says, like, screw those 20,000 people in the arena. Anything that I'm saying on a microphone is for me and maybe 7 people in the back. And that's about it. And I was like, I sent it to the guys. I was like, this is us.
Yeah.
Like, we're legitimately just trying to make each other laugh. But that type of fun, it's something that you want to be a part of. Like, if I see a group of people and they're laughing at something, even if I didn't think it was funny at first, I'm like, but they're having a really good time. You know what? And the point,
yes.
The point of our existence, again, I'm going to get a little existential because I'm in that zone, is to have fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what this life is. I don't know if there's a point. I don't know if there's a meaning. So what should I do in order to get the most out of this? Well, I should enjoy it as much as possible. And if I can do something that then translates into other people enjoying their experience here as well, because this could all blow up tomorrow. Comet might hit like the dinosaurs. We might be poof.
It better not. I got big plans this year.
I know, right? I know. But that's the thing that makes me believe. Do what is going to make you smile. Do what's going to make you happy. And that in turn is going to hopefully extend to other people and make them happy. And so you talking about people hating us, is because we fully committed to that idea, man. That I just said. Like, it's the power of positivity. And at first you hear it and it's like, even us, when we heard it, we're like, oh, we're going to be like, it's like a choir thing, gospel. This is not what we were thinking about when we brought all this to you, but fine. And so we thought, we got the ball. So we have to fully commit. And there's been situations where people think like, ah, man, I got this thing thrown at me. Ah, you know, whatever. This sucks. So I'm just going to try to get it changed. It's like, well, this is our shot. In my head, there's like, this is my last shot. I wasn't in a good place like before this. This is the best that I felt in wrestling is with these two guys. And I really believe that we have something. And so it's like, we have to fully commit to this because this is what we wanted. And so when we did that, everybody got so upset because it is so corny at this point in time to try to be positive, which is such a weird thing to say, right?
Of course, but it makes people, because they were still coming off like the John Cena days, yeah, where it felt forced upon them. Mm-hmm. But you guys were almost a heel doing it as opposed to the babyface doing it. So they were allowed to be, yeah, it was a different kind of hate. And I'm still trying to figure out how it changed to love.
It's because we gave them exactly what we were. So it became, we don't like this because this is ridiculous. And then when we fully committed, it became, you know what? If they're going to play the game, we'll play the game with them. We'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
Because people understand cheering is good. Booing is good.
It is, yeah.
Silence is bad. And I think that people understood that and they saw these are three guys who are trying to make the best out of what they're handed. And I think that even if it's not in the foreground, like it's in the subconscious back of your mind, you understand what you're doing. You understand what you're watching. You're understanding what your interactions mean to someone.
And when you see someone committed to the work, it makes it very easy to watch.
Yes.
I remember when I would teach their promo class, I showed them the scene from Liar Liar where Jim Carrey is trying to write the word red. Mm-hmm. And because his son made a wish for his dad not to be able to tell, yeah, a lie for a whole day, he can't do it. And he writes the word blue. And he's like, "What? No, write it." And all of a sudden his hand gets angry at him and it attacks him. And he's like, "No, you're going to write it or I'll break it off." Run. And it's so over the top and ridiculous that if he didn't commit 100% to that, that's the worst scene in the history of film.
Yes.
Instead, you can't take your eyes off it. And as ridiculous as it is, when his arm starts, the wing, chicken wing, mm-hmm, thing starts, he has everybody captured in this. And then at the end of the scene, he comes up and his face is covered with the word blue. And he's like, "The goddamn penny." And I'm looking at everybody and I'm trying to tell them. I would also play them stand-up because I compare the two, yeah, art forms. It's as close as I can make a comparison to, because it's not like the movie business at all. And yeah, I learned that very quick when all my promos would get rejected because they were like 8 minutes long. But when I watched you guys turn face, so to speak, and for people that aren't wrestling fans who are just like listening for the stories, when you go from a good guy or a bad guy to a good guy, they say you're turning face because you're a baby face now and everybody's gonna love you. You guys made this turn, mm-hmm, and you have this life outside of wrestling, as does Kofi, as does E, that you guys are very, very public about. And you bring a lot of yourselves into these WWE characters in a time where that was done. Because if we back up, when I was a kid, everything was 100% real. These were sporting contests. They were fights. It was like Ali versus Holmes. And then after Montreal, everything kind of got flipped on its head. And all of a sudden, there was this argument of, well, it's this much real and this much. But back in the old days, you weren't necessarily Dr. Death. You know what I mean? Like, but you had to live that gimmick because if you were a bad guy signing autographs in the back, how bad a guy are you, right? And then after the screw job happened, all that went away and people were like, "Yeah, man, it's just a show. It's just characters." You, especially, but Kofi and E as well, have found what I find to be this sort of beautiful hybrid where you've literally brought back living the gimmick, which should make the old heads happy. And if you're not, just listen and think about that for a second. You're living the gimmick. You got yourself over first, then got the gimmick over, and it's almost like old school wrestling all over again, but the real MTV's Real World season one version of it. It's so crazy to me. And you literally, it's almost like watching old school wrestling again, but through a contemporary lens, because yeah, young people frigging love you guys. They love you guys. They may be watching the internet all the time and don't know about cable TV, but they love you guys. And they watch you and they follow y'all on social media. And you're so interactive with them, whereas a lot of the older heads just aren't. Or if they are, they're just complaining. You know what I mean? Like, "You don't get it. You don't get it." And it's like, well, you both don't get it. But you guys have this crazy attitude of like, hey, if I don't get that, get me hip to it. And you, it's, I've seen it since the first segment I watched you do is the same way you've been in gaming, in cosplay conventions, in playing the bass, in which I'm sure you'll be doing at WrestleMania one day, doing to your own theme music.
Well, see, I mean, my price is going to jump pretty quick, so.
Yo, man.
See, I'm like, pretty nasty on it.
What you guys have done, I mean, am I crazy? Is this just me overthinking it, or do you see yourself as like, yo, it's not even a gimmick. It's I'm living this, and this is me, and I just found a way to make it work.
I think the biggest part of it, so, okay, so to go back to, let's say, developmental, so like SCW, we'd have promo days, and you can come as whatever character or whatever thing, cut whatever promo you want. For me, it became a thing of, all right, I'm not, you know, six. This is like my script since I was little has been. Like, I'm not going to be 6'2". I'm not going to be, like, 250 pounds. Like, I got to figure out, like, what can I do to like, rise to the occasion or whatever, you know? Yeah. But, like, that's why I learned how to play trombone, because I was like, okay, maybe if I have an instrument, you know, something's there.
Wrestling made you want to learn it.
Wrestling made me literally do everything that I've done in my life.
Oh, my God.
I played sports for every semester and every term, whatever, because in my head, I had to be an athlete all year long because I had to get ready.
I figured
for
you were a band nerd who got buff and wanted to wrestle. No. I'm not even playing.
No. Started in seventh grade. I started wrestling because I wanted to wrestle, obviously.
Yeah.
I tried football prior, like when I was in elementary school, but we played pound ball in Georgia. So you're on a team based on how much you weigh. And me and my best friend were real fat kids. So we were playing with like 13-year-olds and we were like 9, and it just did not work. So they hit me so hard, my helmet broke, I cried, I quit. And so when I go out for wrestling, my dad is like, you know, it's not like that wrestling, right? I'm like, yeah, it's cool. But I would need to learn something because I can't defend myself. I'm just like, I was a little pudgy, fat nerd,
yeah.
You know? And I was nervous because
wrestling's
like,
the truth, man.
It is. It changes you, man. It makes you so accountable, not just like in a sport, but in life. Because football, you could be killing it, but 10 people don't want to back you up.
Yeah.
Now you've lost as well. Wrestling, it taught me how to be so accountable. Because if I lost, it's because I messed up.
I've heard word for word so many wrestlers, like amateur wrestlers say that. Yep, 100%.
And it made me translate that to life. So if we fast forward some, so there's like, okay, I need to learn a language and a little bit of Spanish because, you know, I kind of want to wrestle in Mexico. It's the closest country to me that speaks a different language where I could possibly wrestle later in life. So I started learning Spanish. I had incredible stage fright. So my friend convinced me they were looking for guys to be in show choir. And I was like, I'm not saying I'm doing that. She goes, you have stage fright, don't you? I said, yeah. She goes, how are you going to be a pro wrestler if you can't sing and dance in front of people? I said, so I joined show choir to get over that. In college, I was a cheerleader because I knew I wasn't going to be tall. So I tried to get more agile so I could learn how to do stuff. So like literally every decision that I've made in my life was to try to gain a skill that might possibly help me in wrestling. And so when I got to the point where I was in developmental, I was like, cool, now I need some sort of gimmick. I need something. So I tried to be the son of Papa Shango. Xavier Shango. So I was a motivational speaker. I was that 90s guy. So I had like a yak back, turtles backpack. You know,
yes.
I tried to be like me, essentially. I tried to be like a real American with Jack Swagger. I had so many different things to the point.
I remember the Jack Swagger kid.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Yeah.
So I tried so many different things to the point where one time I got a review that said like I have too many ideas. So in my head, in my
yo, how is that a bad thing?
Yeah,
I've never heard that as a criticism
that's what
in my
I said,
life,
right? And so in my head, I was like, I don't even understand what that means. So I would get upset and like, I'm going to make more ideas. I'm going to try to be more creative. And I had so many people telling me like, I have a list, a legitimate list. Breeze will tell you this. He's seen this. I have a list of things in developmental that I wanted to do. And it's a list of things that people told me I will never be able to do. And I'm almost done with it. I'm almost done
that
checking things
so
off
good.
Of it.
It feels so good.
It's disgusting how good it feels.
Yeah.
And so all of that is why, like, once it got to the point where we could try to create a new day, I had this idea in my head, and I don't know if I ever voiced this to the guys or if it was something that I was consciously doing, but I quickly realized in trying to figure out how to get our chemistry and in-ring stuff all together and to the point of the chemistry that we have now, which we were able to get from house shows. We were on house shows for like 4 or 5 months before we were on TV.
Sure. And for those who don't know, that's when they're on the road all the time, working matches, doing promos, doing things, but there's no TV cameras there. It's just for the people mm-hmm. that come to the house.
Yes. So having that set up helped us a lot, but in trying to get our chemistry down, we kind of shed the gimmick because that wasn't that the gimmick became secondary to our chemistry. And then once we realized that, we leaned fully into our chemistry, and then it could be literally whatever it wanted to be. You know,
you guys, you said shed, right? Because it's an evolution.
Yeah.
And
the cocoon to the butterfly.
It's so funny. Like one of the ways as a young buck that I always kind of would see if like wrestling was over is like, did they get a word over? Did they get a phrase over? Yeah. Things like that. Like Steve Austin got the what over, but
what one of the best, if not
the best, but to me, I hate it because it kills promos, right? Like if somebody doesn't know their stuff,
shut it down.
Then they get,
but that's what I like, because if the crowd is not there interacting, trying to mess with us, trying to knock us off our game, like to me, that is what pro wrestling is what do you do when you mess up?
This is why I say it's like stand-up comedy. When you guys are like boxers in there, and the crowd is the opponent.
Yes, and they want you to outsmart them. They want you to hit them with a zinger. They want to be shut down because then they go, oh, he's good.
Yeah.
And that's what all this is. If you go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, like, that's whatever. Cool. That's fun. Everything works. People like it. Everyone enjoys it. But what do you do when things go awry?
I remember the first time I saw Roman get the crowd with his promo. Mm. And I literally was like, either he just figured it out or he just took like a full court shot and made it.
Yeah.
But it was the first time they stopped whatting and did that exact moment. Yeah. And it's funny because I'm sitting here going, as a writer, right? Going, oh God, I hate the what I've seen it. And you're like, no, give it to me. And that's why you're able to get these ideas over and get them through people. People know when it's real.
Yeah. It's so much more fun because now we're playing. This is all of this is a game.
And they are a part of the show. Yeah. They want to be and they are a part of the
show. When you're watching wrestling on TV, you cannot even almost feel the energy in the building. You cannot even almost comprehend or even almost fathom what the energy is like, but you can hear it. That's the indicator. So even if I'm watching something and I'm not fully invested or I'm cooking dinner or something, but I hear the audience, I go, I need to turn and watch that.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes it so much better. How many matches, if you would have seen just like with no crowd, flat, no noise, the match, this is a good match, but that energy that you're trying to experience through audible.
This is a good point because I was, like I said, I was kind of like anti-crowd.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, oh, this is going to be brutal. I'm not joking. I was like, finally, I can watch what I want to watch the way I want to watch it. Da, 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 da. And after the first one, I was like, oh, man, I really miss crowds. This is brutal. Yeah. I was way wrong on that.
It's 100% wrong. Studio wrestling, like, it's not easy. Everything hurts 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Because there's no adrenaline.
Yeah.
You're trying to create it and hope. Like, you get to a point where, not that, like, you can just wrestle and know automatically if it's good or bad, but like you have a feel for like this was entertaining, maybe.
Oh, the crowd's gonna let you know.
Exactly.
They have their chance too that they got over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've heard you guys get your this is awesome. It's like that's a powerful thing to it's instant gratification.
Yeah.
Like if I make a movie, it's 8 months before you see it.
Yes.
And I've already decided how I feel.
Yep. Like there's no, for me, there's like no point in any of this if there's no test.
Yeah.
Like I want to be tested. I want to pass. I want to fail. I want to get better. I want to know where I'm at.
You're not big on participation trophies, I'd imagine.
No, dude. Like, don't give it to me. Like, I didn't earn this yet.
Yeah.
I don't want it if I haven't earned it. And the only way I can find out if I've earned it is if I'm tested on the material.
So before we nerd out.
Yeah.
I just want a lot of people listening because I do believe a lot of people from social media that follow both of us will watch this. And I do believe a lot of those people are artists in some way, shape, or form, whether it's painters, animators, sculptors, wrestlers, actors, musicians, whatever. Everything Woods has said, I hope you guys go back and listen to, because it's literally the blueprint for how to stay true to yourself and your ideas. And we hear the term shill thrown out a lot these days. A shill is someone that is catering to the fans. And that is the opposite of what an artist should be doing. They should be making the art they love, and then expressing themselves truthfully and honestly. And then the power becomes the fan or the audience. And you get to decide whether you love it as well or whether you don't connect to it. But a lot of artists and younger ones, and this is with social media and a like button, I see a lot of you asking people, what should I paint? What should I sing? What should I do? And I always want to, like, if I had your number, I would call you and be like, don't ever do that again. I want you to sing what you love or play the cello with a song that you like. Like, don't ever ask my opinion ever. I'll let you know if I like it or if I don't when you're done. But be true to yourself and make art for yourself. That's what stand-up comedy and wrestling still have in by the dozen compared to all other art forms. Movies are way different now. There's so much CGI. There's so much less honesty that we can put out there because the animators who put up honest work don't even have control of the edit and don't even have control of what music's going behind what. They can take a line I said in one scene, and if I said the same line in another, they could put it in there. Mm-hmm. So it's when you're in that live audience, that's so funny you had stage fright.
Oh, the worst.
You have like the worst. 0% stage fright now. Like, you're the opposite. What's the stage courage? You have stage courage.
But at the same time, like you were saying, just getting to be myself. I don't know.
That's the scariest thing, is playing yourself.
Yeah, but at the same time, the reason that I'm like where I feel so comfortable in this is because I was doing what other people were telling me all the time, taking everyone else's advice except my own, sure. I guess. And once I got to the point where I said, you know what? I want to throw my own punches. If I get knocked out, good. Because now I know that I'm not supposed to be here. I failed the test.
Yeah.
I don't have what it takes. My mind is not built for wrestling. My body's not built for wrestling. Whatever. I need to go and do something else. If I'm constantly throwing someone else's punches and I get knocked out, now I'm going to be blaming people constantly for the rest of my life for messing up my shot. It wasn't their shot. It was mine. And I decided what to do with it. And if I don't succeed based on your advice, that's my fault.
That's how demons are created.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then that it ruins your life. It's a pit in your stomach, in the back of your brain.
Yeah.
I would much rather fail on my own accord and understand, come to terms with the fact that I'm not as good as I thought I was. There's my reality check.
Amateur wrestling accountability.
Exactly. It's all rolled into one. So if I'm able to go out on my own terms and I win that night, I don't go, oh, cool, I won forever. No, I have to win every night. But I have a little more confidence. And the next time I go out there, I have more confidence that I'm going to win again.
Yeah.
And then every time I do that, I feel like I'm going to win again. I'm going to win again. So at that point, I stopped caring about, do I need to have a gimmick and have a mask? I said, no, screw this. I like me. My friends like me. And legit having that relationship with them, being on camera with them, doing promos with them, matches with them, gave me that confidence that I don't have to put on a mask or be a different character in order to make money at this place. I can just be me as a human person. I have interest in video games, in The Last Unicorn, in bass,
in
all these different things. And it's like, if you don't rock with it, cool, I'm already here, dude. And regardless if you like me or not, I'm about to have a banger bell to bell. So like, you can't be mad. You can dislike the character of Xavier Woods, but like, Austin Creed has done nothing but worked his ass off in order to try his
and
best
brought
to
the
entertain
magic
you.
Back.
And if you don't like it, that's so cool. It's totally, you don't have to like what I do. You don't have to enjoy my art. That's totally fine. I have this feeling that comes over me when I'm performing. That is all that I need. The way that it makes me feel, that's all that I need. So if you love it, I love you for it. Thank you. And if you can't stand it, I love you for it. I bless you. But it's just that feeling being out there with those guys. It's incredible, dude.
It's funny. I wasn't as comfortable as you are until I got in my 30s, which you are now.
Yeah, that's about the same.
And before that, like all the movies I was doing, it was always, I didn't believe in my ideas. I would do whatever the director said. Oh, that has to be better than what I did.
Yeah.
And I was kind of learning on the job. And it wasn't until I got into my 30s where I was really felt comfortable on camera. This is no lie. My dream career would be the actor Ron Perlman's career. He was always in prosthetics. His face was always covered.
Yeah.
He was Hellboy in the original Hellboy movies. He was the preacher in that weird Island of Dr. Moreau movie.
Oh my God, he was?
Yes, he was Beast from Beauty and the Beast, man. The live action show in the
80s. I love Island of Dr. Moreau.
He was, I know, that movie.
That's a good movie,
people
dude.
Trash on it.
That's a good movie.
I've seen it a lot, man. And I'm always trying to like, why do people hate it?
Yeah.
I really like that. You know who the cheetah was, right?
No.
Mark Dacascos, that Filipino action star. Or American Filipino
can
action
we,
star.
Can we redo this? Can I be your little buddy? The doctor?
Let me get humongous, bro. Yeah. That would be the greatest movie ever. So we agreed on that. Well, that's a good segue. Because I want to finish on nerding out. Mm-hmm. So you and I, a few years ago, there was an app called the DC app,
mm-hmm.
DC Universe. And you could watch shows like Teen Titans. I think they just call it Titans.
Yeah.
They had Doom Patrol, which if you haven't seen, you should actually watch that. I've seen a few episodes and it's really funny. And I love Brendan Fraser so much. Sarah made a movie with him and I got to like, hang out with him more than her. And I literally was like, dude, I wish we were brothers when we left. And he was like, so do I. And he's just this giant Canadian guy with a huge heart. And I love him. So anyway, you should watch that. But anyway, we made a show there that was a tabletop role-playing game, which for those of you who don't know, it's like Dungeons & Dragons, only they've made Dungeons & Dragons in all kinds of worlds. Some of them are in space, some are in the future, some are in the Wild West, some are D&D. And we made one that was in the superhero world. And I have been, and I don't even know if this is going to come to fruition, but I'm just so excited I want to talk about it. I've been trying to get a meeting with the people at HBO Max who absorbed the DC app. Mm-hmm. And show them what we did there and try to get going. And they watched it and they reached out and they set up a meeting and they want to talk about maybe doing more of DC All-Stars.
So, this is so much fun.
For those of you who don't know,
oh my God.
We literally is an 80s game. And so our dungeon master or game master was this dude named Sam Witwer. Everybody loves Sam. Mm. And he wrote this basically the Breakfast Club for superheroes movie. Only with dice rolls. So it's a very linear story. We're the characters. There's an element of improv to it. But he knows where his story is going to go and can control it. So if you want to see the pilot, it's out there. They put the first one for free on YouTube and you had to pay for all the other ones. But you can just kind of see what it is. So I'm going in there and I'm going to pitch him a few different versions of it. I want to pitch him a villain's version. But I want to see if they'll be down to continue our story because I felt like we had a lot more to do.
Yeah.
You and I had my favorite interaction ever in a tabletop role-playing game. Our characters had these secret goals. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And my character was a nerd. I was the dork from Breakfast Club and had no friends and was like good with computers. And everyone was crapping on me and like making fun of me. And by the end of the game, we've revealed our true identities. Mm-hmm. I was Super Dude and you were Bat Guy. Mm-hmm. And we're up on this like pedestal of this torn down chapel. And we're looking in and we see the bad guys in there. And I had this special skill that if I could make one friend in this game, I would be immune to this one particular character's attacks. And we don't know each other's goals. And so this is like when you're saying you can finish these other sentences and things like that. So we're both sitting up there and I look at you and I go, we're about to go into battle. And I saw it and I go, hey, man, are you my friend? And what did you say? Yes, I am. And I literally threw my paper in the air and I was like, I'm jumping in and I'm taking out Lex Luger. And you said, if I make a friend, his attack doesn't work. So screw you. And Sam just throws his pencil in the air and he's like, oh my God, what did I do? Why did I give him the secret? And I had so much fun playing these. So by now you guys are figuring out that I'm a big dork. You put me on to a DM who's a dungeon master that I want to give love to. And they told me since this is my podcast, I'm allowed to do this.
Do what I want.
His name is KG Tang. And he had an online professional wrestling D&D league called D&DW, which you did.
Yes.
And you were like this, what? It was like a luchador elf?
I was a luchador. Solamente Español para ti.
Oh, sí, sí, sí. Did you hit him with Spanish on the line? Oh, my God. You guys are seeing the nerdy stuff. So Woods calls me. From the game.
Yes.
I think it just ended.
From the game.
Yeah.
We just played. And I was like, oh my God, Freddie would love this.
So this guy literally, yeah, he FaceTimes me. He's like, dude, you got to come do this Dungeons & Dragons wrestling game. Are you down? And I was in my truck eating a sandwich. I was like, yeah, man, sure.
But then I told him, I was like, I got to call Freddie Prinze. They're like, wait, what? I said, yeah, yeah, Freddie would love this. What? And so they're like, and so when I show them that it's you, they're like, oh my God, he's going to come and do the game.
Dude, they were so good to me. Here's how, this was the impression you left. This is how good they were to me. So I call this guy. He's this awesome dude who does voices. He's a voice actor.
He's great.
And he does wrestling voices as well. And so his... like announcer for the wrestling league is, I think, like an orc or troll version of JR. And so the voice is like, oh my God. So he's already locked in on that. And he writes every story for every single session. And I mean, puts in work on it. And he says, hey, it's a monsters only. It's a monsters only. He had this rule. I don't know why that makes me laugh, but he goes, it's a monsters only wrestling league, what's your favorite monster? And so now my whole memory is wiped because I'm like, I'm thinking like, you know, elves and dwarves and all this stuff. And I go, the first one that pops in my head, I go, an owlbear. And so for those of you who don't know, it's very self-explanatory. Yes. It's a giant bear with an owl head and a lot of feathers instead of fur. And it's pretty darn tough.
Yeah.
So I hit this guy, KG, back. And this is going somewhere, I promise. And I say, hey, man, can I be an owlbear? And he goes, oh, my God, I love you. Please be an owlbear. I said, okay. So I come in. He has me roll for some statistics. So you're rolling for things like strength, intelligence. That was a rough one for me. And then a bit of a backstory. And here's some other stats that I won't bore you. And my backstory was I got cursed from eating this wizard. And the curse was I was now fluent in every language but could no longer speak or understand my own. Okay. So I just hate everybody. I'm just grumpy and pissed off.
Such a weird curse.
Well, you know, it's wrestling.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be an indie league champion coming in with these other professional D&D players. And the one, her name is Christina Valenzuela. I love her. She voices Ladybug Girl. If any of you have kids, your kids love her too. And she's the nicest out of all of them. She's like, oh my gosh, hi, I brought you a present, da, da, da. She's a killer, okay? She attacked me right away. In the story, she came to give me a hug, made an agility roll, and the success of that was she slipped something in my sock that was going to, like, affect me later, right? So I was like, oh my God, you're a horrible human being. I love you. Yes. Will you please play it on my RPG? Which she does now. She's even played Mafia with Seth and Claire and all of us, and she's a gangster at that too. Shout out to the D&DW crew, by the way. So I'm loving all these people and I can't roll bad. Like no matter what, I always roll bad. Yeah. I'm like the king of the four. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's just 17, 18, 20. I think I rolled 3 natural 20s, in the match, like that we were in against this like giant knight, and I killed his, or not kill him, but I take him out and I got the belt and I even did like a voice. And the point of this was, I modeled him after the Big Show.
Yeah.
And literally, so I made him British. So he sounded like this, but he was incredibly grumpy. And I even cut a promo where I was like, I have to listen to your stupid languages and hear you do this whole thing. And I had to do it on the fly.
Yeah.
But it was, I'd never done that before. It was incredible. And off of that was when you asked me to sacrifice my life for a month and write you guys a tabletop RPG, which I love doing, man. I had a blast doing that. And now I can't stop. There's literally another one right in front of your face.
It's so good.
So we're dorks.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And a lot of you probably are too. So in your face.
In your face. I haven't heard in your face in so long.
It was big when I was in the 80s, man. I have my Z Cavaricis.
I'm bringing it back.
Like a Jimmy Z shirt, and I'd say, in your face.
So, okay, so funny thing. So just for a second to go back to wrestling. So, like, you just said this was funny.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that if I have a promo on Monday. Because it's funny to me. And I'll tell Kofi and E this story, and I'll go, oh, this was funny. They'll go, yeah, in your face. It was. No, I said that in a long time. And we'll say it, and we'll giggle. And yeah. Someone will go, what? Why did they say in your face?
Yeah, to ridicule me.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
But that, again, like, just having fun. Coming and doing this. Like, we're just having fun. I feel like this is what people enjoy.
You guys have created something that I love watching, that makes my kids laugh, that makes me, an old head, laugh. And I love what you guys have done for the business. I really feel, I don't like saying people have changed the business, because everything changes the business.
Yeah, constantly.
But you guys have really helped the business evolve and find its way back to the future of WWE fans. And their logo is, you know, what, then, now, forever?
Yeah.
And it's that kind of evolution that makes forever a possibility. And I think wrestling, as crazy as it is right now, I think it's in a really good place. And I think it's due for really big things in the next couple of years. And I like all the competition going around right now. And I like the vibe that your generation is laying down, which is like, yeah, I'm going to elevate, but I'm going to pull all of you up with me.
Yeah.
And it may not be as fast as climbing over your head, mm-hmm. but I sleep better at night. And yeah. I love that so your generation is down to do this. And I see it not just from you, but from other cats you've inspired. And it's just a different way of thinking. And I love all you guys for it, but you the most.
Thanks, man. Love you too. I think that seeing and hearing all of the stories from the guys and girls in the previous, men and women, excuse me, of the previous generation, and being able to learn from them and sit down. So, like, I wouldn't be in WWE if it wasn't for conversations with Devon Dudley.
Yeah, so I got to meet him. He was so cool.
Like, legit. So when I got released from TNA, I was, again, I was in that zone of, man, I bet on myself and I lost. Maybe I shouldn't be a wrestler. Not realizing that in that point of life, so I'm still in college, and I, in my head, I was like, I can just do my schoolwork and try to be a good wrestler, not understanding that this is a job, and jobs have politics, and you need to be friends with people, and you need to, like, make sure that people see you, and you need to be knocking on doors to let people know that you want opportunities, things like that, that I just didn't understand at the time, you know? So, talking to Devon, he gave me the game, you know? He explained all that stuff to me. He's like, this is how you were, and this is probably why this happened. He's like, no one knows for sure, like, how things would have worked had you done things differently.
But he has so much experience in a game that he can make educated guesses
Exactly. And so knowing things like that and hearing things from him saying, because then me telling him, maybe I'm not cut out for this, he said, no, you haven't exhausted all your options. Continue grinding, continue hustling. If this is something that you want, and you at one point thought you should be here, like, then continue to work, continue to grind, and continue to get better, and you will create more opportunities. Because people say, like, you find opportunities, or they find you. Like, no, you create. The luck is the intersection of skill and opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be ready, and then you have to make things happen.
My godfather said it's luck is being prepared when the opportunity comes your way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you're not, then you're going to fail. And so, like, by him sitting on the phone with me while I'm like crying to him,
about losing this guy even more now.
Like, I'm weeping, and he's on the phone with me for like 2 hours, just like comforting me, making me feel better, and then pumping me up about things. By the end of the conversation, I immediately got on the phone and started getting booked again. Like, the Devon Dudley changed my life, dude.
I love that guy. I love him even more now.
He's the man.
When I did Punky, Bliss and Flair came out and were nice enough to come and do like a bit with the new Punky girl.
Yeah.
And he was the agent that they sent out. And so while they were working, I was just like talking to him and just nerding out. I was like, oh, dude, I used to watch it. How many tables do you think you went through? Like, just totally nerd. And he was really cool and nice to me, man. But he just looked so tough. Yeah, and just, I dude. Love, I, you know, I got a soft spot for all y'all.
He's the best guy, you know? And so, like, without that conversation, I wouldn't be sitting at this table with you. We wouldn't have been talking. Like, I wouldn't be in there with Kofi and E. Like, I would, none of this happens without Devon taking the time to, like, care about me, you know?
Yeah.
And so, for me, that is how I've tried to make sure I'm trying to leave things better than they were when I got here, because it's not wrestling. Like, doing things is fun and having goals. And once you achieve those goals, I feel like you then have the responsibility to make it better for the next person. Yes, there's still things that I want to do and still things that I want to achieve. That's because as you get to your goal, you move the goalpost back some because you want to find something new.
Absolutely.
But I've hit what I wanted since I was a kid. So while I'm still trying to achieve things that I want, I also have to put equal energy into building a better path for the 16-year-olds that want to start wrestling next year.
And it's a harder road to walk, but it's an unbelievably possible road to walk down. It's just a little bit harder. And people, it's very difficult to say, don't just look out for you, but you don't have to just look out for you. No. Once you get to a certain point, confidence-wise, you really can bring others with you. Yeah. And I hope more artists start doing that.
It's just, it's...
Wrestlers leading the way. What do you know about that? What do you know about that?
It's one of those things where, you know, you hear people, like, somebody got bullied, and this is just, like, in life. Like, so somebody got bullied before they, like, got into a good position in life. And then, so, like, they're bullying people to, like, you know, because that's how they were brought up. Like, no, like, if you got bullied and then you became, you know, that top person, wouldn't you want to just make sure that people don't go through, like, the BS you went through? You want to make it better.
Yeah, so, put them in karate school. Don't bully them.
Yeah.
Give them a scholarship.
So talking about D-Von and just, like, other veterans who have, like, since you, like, given us the game, like, we know that there's certain things that we can do to make sure that we're better off, yeah, you know? Man. Like, we get to stand on their shoulders.
And that's why he's doing that and sharing those 2 hours with you, because he knew you'd be receptive to that. Yeah. He's not going to waste his time otherwise.
No. But it's, like, we got to leave it better for the next people, and they got to leave it better for the ones after them. So, like, it's cool to see everything change and to be a part of such an interesting evolution of wrestling.
To say the least, dude.
Because I feel like the past 10 years, wrestling is, like, very different.
Just from when I was there, there's nothing. Women had a 5-minute match when I worked there, and 2 minutes was their entrances.
Yeah.
They get 2 commercial breaks now. Like, it's in the third hour of Raw. Like, it's freaking wrestling great. Is night and day. Yes. Night and day.
And I love it. It's just better. We have so many talented people, and there's so many talented people, not just in WWE, but in the world that are good at this. And, like, if you don't like this one, then watch that one, and you don't have to badmouth this one to say that you like this one. Like, there's so much space for everybody.
Tons.
Everything.
Brother, you're the reason I know about wrestling, pro wrestling.
It's one of my favorite things to do is watch that.
Yo, it is. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to go deep on it on another episode. I even want to bring Brian on. Yeah, I want to have Kendrick here for it, because it's literally like if the kids in the hall from 1980s HBO and Mr. Show and Vince McMahon somehow made a baby, and that baby wanted to be a wrestler.
Ooh, can I say a
thing? Yeah, side quest.
Can you follow me on the socials?
Oh, of course.
Austin Creed Wins. And check me out on G4 TV Bay.
Hey. Oh, yeah, we're not ending this just yet. Oh. G4 TV. So I'm not even gonna lie. When I found out they were casting for it, I legit talked to Sarah and I was like, yo, that was like a cool show, man. And she's like, you're so old. They're never I was like, yeah, no, I was just talking out loud. And then I see you tweet like, yo, that would be like a sick job. And then it got this movement. That's the power of your positivity. It got this digital movement behind it. And all of a sudden you were like, yo, man, I'm going to be a host on G4. That's like a dream job. And I read the text. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Dude, it's like so unreal. Cause it's like, that's what like all the hustle has been for,
bro.
Especially like in gaming and stuff. Cause like, again, learning from guys like D-Von, learning from veterans like that, who are kind enough to have these conversations, like, that transitional period from stopping wrestling and starting something else is weird. But then you think about in any profession, as you're getting older and maybe like phasing out of doing something and you got to start chapter 3 or 4, whatever you want to call it, is like, what do I do? And
it's so scary.
Yeah. So in my head, it's like, how can I make that transition as easy as possible without feeling that anxiety at like nearing the end of my career, whenever that may be? And it's like, just be in the space. And so getting the green light from G4, like, I don't know, that for me, that's the biggest jump that I have made in my head, because that to me is like, all right, we accept you in the gaming space.
Yeah.
Like for real now.
I totally get that.
There's always in the back of my head, I'm if you haven't realized, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a very anxious person. And so whenever I do gaming stuff, even though I've been in the space for like 6 years now, there's that, oh, who's this random wrestler guy on my TV? Like, and I did EA Play.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's hella people that are watching that have no clue who Xavier Woods is.
Yeah.
And don't care, you know? And they go, oh, they just hear WWE. Like, oh, he's a random wrestler. He doesn't know anything about video games. But then my job in my head is like, I have to be so much more cautious, not cautious, but conscious of getting myself to a position where they go, oh. And so being able to do that to the point of becoming a G4 host tells me my transition should be okay.
And it's with something you love.
You know? Yeah.
It's power of positivity, people. And we'll speak to you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of iHeartRadio's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.